Long before Japanese soldiers descended on Attu, it was home to a small village, and it was also a haven for birds.
Commoners, they just make this cooing, and it just on a day like this, it kind of carries across the water. It sounds really cool. It's the red-tailed hawk sound of the Aleutians, you know.
Jeff Williams is the assistant manager for the Alaska Maritime National Wildlife Refuge. It's existed for more than a century, expanding to cover more than 1,000 miles of coastline and abandoned defense sites like Attu. On a visit this summer, Williams walks up to a rusted fuel tank just off Attu's Navy Cove.
It's just, I mean, you can see the valve right there just coming out. It's a direct source.
A viscous puddle of black liquid has oozed onto the ground. At least a half dozen birds have flown into it and died, their wings jutting out at odd angles.
Almost like La Brea tar pits. It's not that thick, it's only a few inches thick, but just enough. See a carcass right over here. There's something right over here also. We found several carcasses in the past years.
This is the most obvious example of a much broader problem. Attu Island is covered with tank farms, fuel barrels, and pipelines. It's not clear how many have failed or how many gallons of petroleum products are still here. William says the Navy tried to decommission some of the tanks they installed for a defense garrison after World War II.
They burned a lot of them. And some pictures of guys with flamethrowers, just like literally going right up to the tank. And it's really remarkable to see this flamethrower just going on the gunk like this, just igniting it and just back flames flying up and, you know. I think we've changed some since then.
There's nothing easy about getting heavy equipment to Attu and then removing, you know, the volume of potentially contaminated material that we're dealing with here.
Andy Sorum is a project manager for the Army Corps of Engineers. They're responsible for cleaning up formerly used defense sites. After extensive research and an extra burst of funding from Congress, Sorum says the Corps is ready to start on Attu. Next year, crews will remove old storage containers and polluted soil from two sites, including the tank farm where birds are getting trapped.
We also are aware of a pallet-sized pile of old lead batteries, and we're going to target not only the remains of those batteries, but the contaminated soil around it.
The price tag for that work? Around $10 million. Sorum expects to continue working on Attu for years to come, but there are limits to what the Corps can do. Ken Andrashko oversees the formerly used defense site program for the Army Corps in Alaska. He says his teams have to focus on chemical hazards, and even then.
Anything that's actually in a battlefield, anything that was released as part of the battlefield would be ineligible because that's defined as an act of war, and under our program that is exclusively forbidden for us to go address.
The actual battlefield doesn't take up much space on Attu, but it casts a long shadow. After intense fighting, often hand-to-hand, more than 3,000 men died. Most of them were Japanese soldiers who believed it was more honorable to commit suicide than surrender. Now the battlefield is a national landmark and part of a national monument to World War II in the Pacific.
It's not like your typical Civil War battlefield or your European battlefield where everything is well manicured. These things are in a real wild state.
John Klo is a retired Air Force historian and author. He's also a tour guide, leading small groups of military buffs on an annual sailing trip to Attu. He's a big supporter of plans to clean it up. Klo says there's no reason why the whole island has to be wild.
Yeah, I go to a Civil War battlefield, you don't see a lot of junk laying around, do you? It's unsightly, you know, all this twisted metal laying around. It has very little historical relevance, unless, you know, somebody needs to look at it and make sure, though.
It's still being debated, but odds are a lot of that junk will stay put. As long as it's not leaching chemicals or harming wildlife, the federal agencies that manage most of the island aren't as concerned with debris. And after so many years, it's almost become a part of the ecosystem. Those birds are Aleutian cackling geese. They'd almost gone extinct before the Fish and Wildlife Service launched a huge effort to bring them back onto the refuge. But not on Attu. Billy Pepper is the captain of Fish and Wildlife's research vessel.
We didn't put these geese here. All we did was remove the fox from here. And all of a sudden we come here one year and you hear that, just like you're hearing right now. Wow. And now they're everywhere, you know. And so it just goes to show you what a little bit of work can do.
Pepper sailed back to Attu this summer, bringing refuge staff and a handful of scientists who wanted to study birds. While they worked, Pepper and a few others rode their four-wheelers down old military roads, pulling up to check on a small interpretive site they helped install. It explains what happened when World War II arrived on Attu. Pepper sits on a small bench, looking out at the hill where the final battle took place.
If you can try to let yourself run with the thought of what that would have been like for a 19-year-old kid, it'd be a lot. But they did it. Now it's kind of gone full circle. It's back to birds, you know. Little interpretive site here. It's mostly birds.
He shakes his head. There are some things that people and time can't erase. Reporting on Attu, I'm Lauren Rosenthal.